That we are discussing Sakkapanya Sutta, which is available in Diganikaya, and we discussed various aspects of the Buddha. If I just give you a brief information that Sakka asked, so what is most important part is his question related to the Papancha Sanya Sankha, that is the mental proliferation. So that is why actually I have selected this sutta. And before coming to this, so there is very long discussion happened between Buddha and the Panchasika, who actually discuss about his fiance and then his love towards her, and again then he actually used his lute and voice to enjoy Buddha. So likewise, some introductory information is there in this sutta. And later God Sakka arrives, and then he explained about that his group, that is the 33 gods, that is the Thavatinsa, has developed or progressed because of the arising of the Buddha. And there he mentioned that there is one newly born deva called Gopaka, who actually was a woman in the previous life called Gopika, and how she actually practiced well and then had a male form as Gopaka, one of the highly prestigious kind of god in the Thavatinsa. So likewise, some information has discussed between the Buddha and the god Sakka, and ultimately he come to the kind of a questionnaire where he actually asked these questions from various other teachers, that is explained at the end. And anyway, so now God Sakka is asking various questions from the Buddha. So one important question that he asks is that even though people, that includes humans, gods, Gandharvas, Nagas, Asuras, all different types of beings, even though they want to live harmoniously, then still they have hostilities, kind of disputes, arguments. So what is the reason for this? Then Buddha answer telling that reason is issa and maccariya. So that is the jealousy and miserliness. So that is jealousy and avarice, jealousy and miserliness. So these are the main reasons Buddha say as the reasons. Actually, it is not difficult to understand these two reasons. And again, more and more you think about it, you can understand how reasonable Buddha's answer is. Even today, there are different countries arguing each other, different countries, they are going to battle each other, and different nations are in kind of disputes. Different groups of people are in different disputes, and families are in different disputes. And again, within two people are also various arguments, disputes, quarrels, etc. Now, underlying reason for this, probably one can understand jealousy and avarice actually play a very important role. So, when someone is having something, say, precious or beautiful, which one also likes, then one feel jealous of that person. On the other hand, when one has something important, something valuable, then one doesn't want to share it with others. So then the others are in sort of jealous with this person. So it actually operates like a vicious cycle. So avarice and jealousy are, therefore Buddha mentioned, are the one major reason for happening these various kinds of quarrels, disputes, hate, wars, battles, etc. Then God Sakka asks what is the reason for jealousy and avarice, and then Buddha mentioned it is the tendency that people have that they like something and they don't like another thing. They like someone, they don't like another one. So this type of a conditioning is there in the people's mind. So this is the reason for having jealousy and avarice. Then God Sakka asks what is the cause of like and dislike. Then further Buddha elaborates more subtle aspects, that is the desire, chanda. So this chanda is actually not only for the, say, wholesome side, but also for the unwholesome side, there is kind of a desire. One is like to do something that may be wholesome, and one is trying to do something that may be unwholesome. So likewise, there is a root desire available in the mind. And then Buddha, Gotsaka asked, what is the reason for desire? How desire may evolve, how desire may improve. So at that time, Buddha gave an interesting answer, that is because of thinking. So one start to think. When one start to think, so that promotes desires. When desires are further strengthened, that promotes likes and dislikes. Now they become sort of latent tendencies in one's mind, conditioning in the mind. And that ultimately leads to jealousy and avarice, and that leads to hate, harming one another, hostilities, etc. Now, after he asking that question, then Gotsaka asks, what is the reason for thinking? Then we find a very interesting answer, that is tendency to proliferation. Papancha sanya sankha. So this tendency to proliferation is there with all the beings, and the very moment that there's a kind of a sense stimulation happen, they start to think. Because of the tendency they have for this mental proliferation, conceptual proliferation. And then actually Gotsaka asks, what is the patipada, what is the path which is leading to the calming down or cessation of various mental proliferations? Then Buddha give a very valuable answer here, which is quite practical, and one can incorporate this in one's practice, in one's life. And actually the answer is given with respect to various types of feelings. So feelings are of three types: pleasurable feelings, equanimous feelings, painful feelings. And Buddha mentioned there are feelings, those are better to associate, and there are certain other types of feeling, they are, should be avoided instead of association. Now, what is the criterion to select? So that is where Buddha mentioned, if you are associating, say it could be a pleasurable feeling, painful feeling, maybe even equanimous feeling, if those associations are going to lead the improvement of wholesome qualities, then no harm, you can associate that. Again, if you are associating any kind of feeling which is leading to improve unwholesome qualities and reduction of the wholesome qualities, you should not associate such feelings. So this is the criterion mentioned by the Buddha, how to select the association of different types of feelings. Now assume that one is associating only the wholesome type of qualities, that one wants to improve wholesome qualities and to reduce unwholesome qualities, so he is selecting what he is going to associate in terms of the feelings. And there also he mentioned, Buddha mentioned that while you are associating these different types of feelings, probably you may have still going on thinking and pondering. And if possible, now try to associate these feelings without thinking and without pondering. So that is more sublime, and that is more subtle, and that is more, how to say it, that is more uplifting than you are associating different types of feelings with thinking and pondering. Now you can see how gradually Buddha leads us to calming down of the mind, how leads us to inner silence. You started with selecting different types of feelings, and ultimately you ended up with kind of selecting only the feelings which are leading to improvement of wholesome qualities and decrement of unwholesome qualities. And once you are associating them also, now you have to think about how to calm down thinking, how to calm down mental proliferation, how to calm down pondering. And now you are calming down, now you are trying to develop inner silence, so that ultimately lead to the cessation of proliferation. And then after hearing this answer, Godsaka asks another question, that is how one has to develop the sense restraint, sorry, the Pathimokka sila, restrainment of according to the precepts. You know that there are, I mean, the lay people have their 5 precepts, 8 precepts, and 10 precepts maybe. And the monks have 10 precepts of samaneras, novice monks, and Upasampada sila, that is the Pathimokka Sangvara sila, for the Upasampada or high ordained monks. Now, how one may properly practice these precepts, properly observe these precepts? So that is the ask question that Godsaka is asking. So at that time, Buddha answer telling that the conduct can be divided into 3 groups, bodily conduct, speech, and the pursuit of goals. And the bodily conduct, again, Buddha mentioned there are certain types of activities that you can associate and certain others should not be associated. So what is the criterion to selection? That is the same as before. If any bodily conduct, any bodily activity which is leading to the improvement of wholesome qualities, Buddha mentioned you can associate it. If you understand that you are harming yourself and you are destroying your inner qualities, spiritual qualities, wholesome qualities, then you should not associate such bodily conduct. So same principle is common to speech as well as the pursuit of different goals. Now, pursuit of different goals is another kind of thing that we can look at here. So instead of telling mano samachara, instead of telling mano samachara, that is the various types of mental activities, Buddha has little refined it, telling that it is the pursuit of goals, what you call as pariyesana. One has different goals, determinations in one's life. So how are you going to decide? So this is what going to be achieved in the future. So what is your aim? What is your goal? What is your objective in your life? So when you are deciding that, one has to understand. So by accomplishing this determination, accomplishing this sort of pursuit, am I going to develop wholesome qualities or am I not going to develop wholesome qualities? So depending on that criterion, one has to determine or one has to decide one's own goals, pursuits, etc. And then Godsaka asks how one may develop sense restraint, control of sense faculties, indriya sangvara, how one may be properly develop that. Because in a way, Godsaka, after receiving kind of a very cognitive type of answer for the very first category of questions, that is the reduction of mental proliferation part, now he is asking in a way the behavioral type of questions. How one has to properly behave, one has to restrain oneself. So you can't achieve any kind of cognitive development, any kind of very high level spiritual development unless you control your gross behavior. So that is in a way type of obvious. So Godsaka further reinforces that part, asking these different questions which are more related with the sila, morality. Now he is asking about the sense restraint, because if you are not restraining the senses, if you are not guarding the senses, and if you simply allow your senses to associate various harmful types of objects, then ultimately it will spoil the mind. It will harm the inner silence. So you may not be able to maintain the inner equanimity or equipoise, because constantly your faculties are bringing you various different types of very vicious, inappropriate type of objects. So therefore Buddha mentioned there are 6 faculties, and using those faculties there are forms to be seen, there are sounds to be heard, there are smells to be sensed, and there are various tastes which you can feel, and different bodily sensations or tactile sensations that one can feel, and again different types of mental objects that you can cognize. So there again, Buddha mentioned, you got to apply that same criterion, that when you are associating those different objects, you have to decide which is going to improve wholesome qualities and which is going to improve unwholesome qualities. If you understand, okay, by associating these kinds of sights, sounds, smells, tastes, etc., I'm improving wholesome qualities, then no harm, you can associate them. On the other hand, if you understand, okay, these associations are leading to destruction of inner qualities, wholesome qualities, then we should not associate such the different types of objects. So this is in a way what we already discussed. Now we can go to the other part of the sutta, and then God Sakka asked, are the all ascetics are teaching the same doctrine, practice the same discipline? Are all the different types of ascetics, religious groups, are they practicing the same thing? Then Buddha said, no, the world ruler of the gods is made up of many and various elements. So the Pali term, aneka dhatu nana dhatu ko devanam in the loko. Now this world is not sort of geared to a one type of understanding. They have different views, many different views, and people have their different ideas. As a result of that, they don't have the same criterion, they don't have the same objective, so they have different objectives. So various religious groups are there, various say teachers are there, so they teach differently. Their teachings are sometimes contradicting each other, and such as a result of that, you can't say this everybody is following the same type of teaching. And then God Sakka asks, are these different types of religious practitioners, ascetics, are they fully liberated? Is their path going to lead to the same type of understanding? Then Buddha said, no, only the practitioners who arrived or who reached Tanha Sankhaya Vimutto, where they perfectly destroy different Tanha Sankhaya Vimutta, Te Achanta Nitta, Achanta Yoga Khemi, Achanta Brahmachari, Achanta Pariyosana. So this is a very, very strong statement here, where, who that we can consider as fully liberated, fully arrived their goal, completely fulfilled their objective. Can we say that all the practitioners who are practicing according to their different types of views, can we all generally say that they all reach the same goal? Then Buddha say, no. Whoever reach Tanha Sankhaya Vimutta, this is a very interesting term, completely destroy craving, and they again have no bonds, freed from all the bonds, perfect in the holy life, and have perfectly reached the goal. So those are the ones one can say fully accomplished, completely liberated. So Buddha's, in a way, criterion of defining complete liberation, therefore one can say, shows the complete destruction of craving. So that is what, in a way, that we can understand in the Four Noble Truths. So you recognize craving as the second noble truth, and the practice that you need to do is slowly eliminating that craving, uprooting that craving. And there is a path for that. And ultimately, you come to the cessation of craving, and actually not really ultimately, then and there you are trying to achieve the cessation of craving and you are leading with it. You're trying to maintain such freedom of craving. Now the mind is free from craving. So such mind has to be developed, cultivated. Ultimately, the mind become completely free from any type of craving. So this is the point that Buddha highlights here. So if anyone is completely free from craving, then one can say he is a liberated person. And then actually God Sakya further endorse it, telling that passion is another type of craving, sometimes another similar word used for craving. And God Sakya also mentioned that it is a kind of a boil, it is type of a disease, it is a dart, and it is the one person being whoever followed that desires, whoever become victim of those desires, actually will have different viewpoints and ultimately have different arguments, etc., and ultimately going to be in trouble. So therefore, this craving has to be eliminated. So God Sakya also sort of rejoice in the Buddha's answer. And then there's another interesting incident he revealed with the Buddha. Now God Sakya is quite happy about Buddha's answers, and he mentioned that he actually has already visited various other ascetics. And he asked various questions because he felt that this person is practicing somewhat well. So I better ask my questions from this ascetic. So he has reached them. But he couldn't get the proper answers and he couldn't achieve anything to himself. But here he mentioned that they become my pupils instead of I become their pupil. God Sakya go to a kind of a teacher and he want to ask questions and they are asking, who are you? Then God Sakya answers, I am this Sakya. I am the lord to this realm, Tavatinsa realm. Then they are quite happy and they are asking a question, how did you come to this level? How you become God Sakya? What are the causes? What are the conditions? What are the wholesome deeds that you did? Then as far as possible, God Sakya explain what he know. He also knows some amount of Dhamma. So he explained that Dhamma to that teacher. And then they appreciate that teaching and they become a follower of God Sakya. So it is not that God Sakya become a student of that teacher, rather that teacher become a follower of God Sakya. So this is an interesting thing that God Sakya explained to the Buddha. And then here again he mentioned, now I have become a student of you. I, Lord, am a disciple of the Blessed Lord, and I am a stream winner. So he became a Sotapanna after hearing all these questions and Buddha's answers. Actually, he became the stream winner, Sotapanna. And he is not now subjected to rebirth in the hell realms, and firmly established in the Dhamma, and he's destined to full enlightenment. So, I mean, even without anyone's advices, guidance, now he himself can achieve the goal, maybe within seven, I mean, at most within seven lifespans. Now he's confirming his understanding. And then Buddha asked, and actually he mentioned that I am extremely happy with this discussion, and I was really benefited from this discussion, so I am extremely happy. Then Buddha asked, have you ever become so happy before this? Then Bodhisattva says, yes, I have. In another previous occasion, I was quite happy. That incident, by the way, is not kind of a spiritual type of, but it was derived through the war we had between the Asuras. Some time ago, we had a real war between Asuras and the this gods Sura, and we actually won the battle. And ultimately I was quite happy, and I felt that whatever belonged to Asuras are now belong to us. So as a result of that, I was quite happy. But Venerable Sir, that happiness was derived through wars. That happiness was derived through taking arms, taking weapons. So it is not the proper happiness, by the way. But now the satisfaction, the happiness, the fulfillment that I feel today is quite different. And that he mentioned that happiness and satisfaction that is obtained by hearing the Dhamma from the Blessed Lord, which is not due to blows and wounds, does conduce to dispassion, detachment, cessation, peace, higher knowledge, enlightenment and Nibbana. Now this happiness that currently God Sakka is experiencing lead into further understanding. It leads to dispassion, it leads to disenchantment, nibbida, and it leads to cessation of craving, and it leads to Nibbana. So therefore this is a very sublime happiness today at I am experiencing. So he is talking very positively, he is talking in praise of the Buddha. And now Buddha asks a question. So what are the reasons for your happiness? What are the different causes for your this type of very interesting sublime type of happiness? And there God Sakka mentioned four causes due to which I am rejoicing. And one thing he interestingly mentioned here is that he actually expired his lifespan. Now while hearing this sermon and while going through this understanding, he actually completed or expired his complete lifespan, his and he again been a God sucker. Now gods also, celestial beings also have their lifespan. It is, according to the Dhamma, it is so long when compared to the human lifespan, in the present human lifespan. Assume it is say 8,000 years, 16,000 years, something like that, even more than that. Now God Sakka actually come to meet the Buddha at the edge of his lifespan. Now he is almost going to die, but he is going through this discussion. And he actually attained Sotapanna as well. At the same time, he passed away, and immediately he became the God Sakka again. So this is a very interesting phenomena, and he rejoiced because of that, because he didn't go to hell realm, or didn't have any kind of a lower type of birth. Rather, he again was able to get the level of a celestial being, and again the God Sakka. So this is a very interesting thing, that I am now quite happy because of that. And then again he mentioned, one day after leaving this celestial realm, the 33 gods Tavatinsa realm, I am mindfully will be a human being, because now he is a stream winner. So it seems that he can't achieve further states while being the God Sakka. Anyway, according to his vision, it seems that he is talking about here his future birth, how he is destined to full enlightenment or arahantship. He explained that next life I'll be mindfully become a human being, leaving this non-human realm of gods behind. Unerringly I'll seek the womb I wish to find. Now here actually the human realm he is finding, and he will get a wholesome type of birth, human birth, in the next life. And there he is further developing himself, further practicing, and then here actually there's an interesting verse mentioned, Swaham Amulha Panyasa Viharang Sasane Rato Nyayena Viharisami Sampajano Patissato. Swaham amulha panyasa. Now, after becoming a human again, so I am maintaining this wisdom, and again, I am delighted in the Buddha's dispensation, and I am practicing diligently, and again, according to the proper path, I will be leading my life. Sampajano patissato, with mindfulness and clear comprehension. So you can see how he is, in a way, clarified his path. Now, no doubts. He is quite confirmed about his future, what he has to do. He is quite determined, and the path is very clear to him now. And he know in the next birth, I am having a human birth. That is a very wholesome type of human birth. It is more kind of human birth, which is more conducive for my future practice. And now I am going to further enhance my wisdom, and I develop further my practice with mindfulness and clear comprehension. So that is another reason that I am quite happy, because I know the path now, and I know the future birth also will be a wholesome one. And then he mentioned that the Buddha is well understood, and I properly understood Buddha's teaching, and ultimately I will be fully enlightened. And when I am leaving this human realm, actually not fully enlightened, I'm achieving some further progress in my spiritual life. And when this leaving the human world again, I'll be becoming a god. Now he see his future lives in a way, and again in the highest rank, and ultimately he'll be reborn in the Akanitta. So that is one of the pure worlds, Brahma world, which is only possible for the non-returners, and there I'll be attain the full enlightenment. So this is how he is seeing his future, what is going to happen to him now in the future, and he is quite happy by seeing this progressive path that he is now going to have. And now in praise of the Buddha, he is explaining further his happiness and his kind of appreciation towards the Buddha. And there actually he is making very interesting verses, like I actually wandered here and there asking my questions, but I didn't get a proper answer. But today actually I had the opportunity to meet the Lord Buddha, and there I asked my questions, and I was able to eliminate all the doubts. Now I am a stream winner. Now I have no further going down to hell realms. Now I am destined to full enlightenment. So my future is quite bright, and it is more into the wholesome side. So now I am free from any fear, and therefore I worship the Buddha, who is the hero of the human, and again, like we worship the Brahma when they are arriving to the Deva realm to preach Dhamma, now I worship you, the Venerable Lord. Now I worship you because now you are the kind of the preacher who actually has shown me the path. So likewise, he is praising the Buddha, and he is paying respect to the Buddha again and again. Now he praised the Buddha, and he beautifully mentioned, and the Sakka, ruler of the gods, touched the earth with his hand and called out three times, Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Homage to the Blessed One, the Arahant, the supremely enlightened Buddha. Now these verses are very powerful, and the verses that mention here in Pali, they are quite powerful verses, and sometimes people are using them during their chanting, because very interestingly and very powerfully, God Sakka praised the Buddha and approves his teaching, and sort of ascertain his kind of certify his accomplishment. that he's now a stream winner, so he's quite happy because he's completely free from Hell Realm now. So he openly declared that. As a result of that, he is praising the Buddha. And ultimately, actually, another very interesting incident happened where God Sakka now appreciate Panchasikha's dialogue, which happened before his arrival, because he sent Gandharva Panchasikha just to have an appointment with the Buddha. So he actually played his lute, and Buddha also, I mean, approved his skill. So in a way, Panchasikha was able to have establish a kind of a cordial relationship with the Buddha. On that atmosphere, God Sakka arrives and put his questions. So God Sakka seems quite happy about what Panchasikha didn't. And he understood this fellow is now in love with this Surya Vachasa, the goddess. And so as a kind of a reward, what Panchasikha did, what God Sakka didn't, was that he says, now I allow you to marry Surya Vachasa. I give her to you. Now he is the Lord, and Surya Vachasa is a very beautiful goddess. And God Sakka say, you are the king of the Gandharva clan now. So there seems to be different layers or different levels in the heavenly realm. So God Sakka is a very powerful god, but on the other hand, Panchasikha, Matali, and etc., they are in a kind of a lower clan. Now God Sakka say, as a kind of an appreciation, kind of a reward, now I keep you as the king to all the Gandharvas, and as a reward I give you this beautiful goddess Surya Vachasa as you desired. So this is the reward that God Sakka is giving to Panchasikha. And here ultimately it is mentioned that during the discussion that the stream winning or the Sotapanna attainment has happened in the God Sakka, and not only him, there are 80,000 more gods who actually accompanied God Sakka realize the Dhamma. And it is typically mentioned as the insight arising during the stream winner state, that Yankinchi Samudaya Dhammang Sabbantang Nirodha Dhammang. So that is the very profound understanding of the impermanence. And in another way, the profound understanding of the conditioned nature, dependent origination, where whatever is arising is subjected to ceasing. Whatever is arising is subjected to ceasing. So this is a very interesting as well as a very subtle insight that profoundly one may understand according to this sutta when one attains Sotapanna. So therefore, at the end of the sutta, it is mentioned that God Sakka and 80,000 other gods, celestial beings, were able to get this insight. Whatever is subject to arising is subject to ceasing. So after realization, so they attained Sotapanna, and God Sakka confirms it, and he rejoiced it, and again he praised the Buddha. So that ends the Sakkapanna Sutta, and with that I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon, Sutta teaching. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So Bhante, based on the sutta, it sounds like the highest level of attainment you could have in any of the celestial realm is a Sotapanna, and then you must return back to the human realm to complete your training until at least you become a non-returner. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, Jennifer, because according to this sutta, something like that is implied, because the God's realm in a way is too much of pleasures and don't know whether they can't achieve the sakadagami. That is the level that you are in a way diluting your passion, diluting your desires, and it is not complete elimination of raga and dosa. That is the patiga, that is what you call the patiga anusaya and raga anusaya, the kind of hatred and the roots of desire. So complete elimination only happens in the what you call this non-returner level, anagami level, but in the sakadagami level, once returner level, it is only diluted. Now, being in the God's realm or the heavenly realm, don't know whether they can't achieve it. But according to here, God Sakka says that his path is like this. Don't know whether that is kind of a generalized rule that none of the gods can achieve the sakadagami. And on the other hand, the non-returner level, of course, we can say they can't maintain it there. So if they achieve non-returner level, so they either actually definitely have to go to the pure abodes. Now even, but on a, in the other terms, in the beauty of the human realm, the beauty of the human realm is all these four states are possible. So that is in one way that we can be happy in a way. Because now God Sakka has to return to the human realm in order to achieve his further accomplishments, further understandings. So there are seems certain restrictions while being there. So he returns to the human realm for further practice, for further improvement, further cultivation. But in the human realm, one can achieve the all full liberation, complete liberation, even arahantship. But the path that God Sakka has decided is different in a way. So he now attains Sotapanna, next life he become a human and he attained Sakadagami. Again he returned back to God realm and he accomplished Anagami and he is reborn in the what you call pure abodes, Akanitta, and there he attained Arahantship. Now on the other hand, God Sakka revisit this God realm after he accomplishes further improvement in the human realm. So that seems that so he actually can have the God realm. Don't know whether, I mean, he can't further improve his level. So that is why he is visiting human realm. So, but after achieving an improvement, he is reborn in the heavenly realm. So once returner means that only once he is returning to human realm or to the, actually the karma, the sensual realm. But the once he's become a non-returner, so he's in the pure abodes. So that's the Brahma realm. So hope the answer is clear. What do you think?
Well, our present human life is very precious.
Exactly.
Maybe we could all achieve our hancha.
Yeah. So even though we have many troubles, many issues, many conflicts, and all these politics and all these things, actually those show the impermanent nature. Those show the unsatisfactory nature. So that all these difficulties might show us. I mean, even though one is doing really well, so we never know what's going to happen in the next moment. So likewise, the human realm in that sense is a kind of a heaven which shows the reality of the life. Even when one become a god, so they don't have time to think about that because everywhere what is available is kind of a pleasurable thing. So they become sort of overwhelmed by those pleasurable feelings and all these different types of pleasures. So they simply enjoy it and they become overwhelmed by that and they don't see any repercussions. They don't see the consequences. So therefore, they can't have a proper perspective in that sense. But it is as what Sakka did. So there are certain others who are quite kind of an inclination towards the Dhamma, so that is why they reach the Buddha, and that is why they listen Dhamma from the Brahmas who are visiting the heavenly realm, and so now using that they start to practice Dhamma. But on the other hand, there are certain other groups of heavenly beings called Kibda Padusika. So that is also mentioned in the Dhamma. There is another group called Kidda Padusika. So they are more into these type of pleasures, and they even forget to have their food, have their lunch. And not having enough food, they actually die. That is why they are called Kidda Padusika. So they are more overwhelmed by the pleasures. They are enjoying their senses, even to the level that they even forget to have their meal. And ultimately, they die because of hunger. So you can understand how much indulgence is there. But on the other hand, in the human realm, if one is wise, one can make use of the opportunity to have a further understanding by using the both aspects available in the human realm. Certain amount of happiness is also there, but there is a suffering aspect is also there. Yes.
I have a follow-up question, but I just want to announce for any new friends that's joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, and or you can send them to me via chat. So last question, Bhante, because there is also the Tusita heaven where the next Buddha is there teaching the Dhamma,
mm-hmm.
and there are many people there that's actually diligently practicing
yeah.
the Dhamma. So even there, it is still difficult to, I guess, see the truth of suffering and the Four Noble Truths, huh?
Yeah, actually, I mean, according to this God Sakka's story, now he is a Sotapanna. Now he is still a heavenly being. Now he returned to human realm to further enhance his understanding, to develop his practice. And again, he revisit the God realms, the heavenly realms. Don't know whether he is returning to Tavatinsa or to the Tusita. But that means that as a Sakadagami, it seems that he is revisiting the heavenly realm. Maybe Tusita, don't know. But there seems to be Anagamis, they actually will be in the Brahma realms, not in the sensual realms. Now, human realm and the heavenly realms are not selected by them for the rebirth, because their complete sensual desires are gone. That's why they are called non-returners. So they are not returned to this sensual world again. Assume that one become an anagami while being in the human realm, and he dies here without accomplishing arahantship. Then he may not reborn in human realm. He is not going to reborn in the heavenly realm. Rather, he will be reborn in the pure abodes, where that is a Brahma realm, and he accomplish arahantship. So that kind of a situation is there, but anyway, we can't plan. Can you?
I'm not transferring my merits to the heavenly realm.
So, as much as possible, we can try our best to make use of the human birth to get its best, much benefit. I mean, we can't. Definitely say, as God Sakka mentioned, that I am now accomplished, I will be reborn in human realm, next I come to the heavenly realm again I am going to be reborn in the pure abodes, now there I become enlightened. So we can't actually assure our next lives as God Sakka do. Anyway, he is a very powerful God, and again he is a stream winner. In front of the Buddha he makes this statement, so it is quite interesting in a way. So it affirms that his accomplishment, confirms his understanding. That is also one interesting phenomena here. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Bunting.
Yeah.
Next, I'd like to invite Pri to ask your question, please.
Can you
Yeah.
hear me?
Yes. What is your full
Yeah,
name,
I'm
please?
Priyadarshini. Priyadarshini, my phone registered is as Pri, probably. It's easy for Jennifer. She probably will have a hard time to pronounce the whole name. I watch my mind and identify karma, chandra, vyapada, and so on. And I not all the time, but I try. And but sometimes you can't. I can't put a label. And there is something, but it's like very deep, and I can't really identify it. But there is some dissatisfaction which I can't identify. Sometimes I feel that, and sometimes even in one feeling like Kamachandra, I see it's not just one, and it has many. Like there's no black and white. It's like I see the prominent one, but behind the scene there are many. But I just see the prominent one, and I sometimes I see that, and when I don't see a cause, and then there is deep dissatisfaction. I don't know how to put it out, because there's no clear label or identification. Could you please help me to understand it?
Yeah, so actually, at the beginning, say when we don't have mindfulness, we can't understand. So that is one level. But when we start to develop mindfulness, then we incorporate clear comprehension, clear knowing, and then we start to understand. So we started with, say, bodily type of phenomena, we understand them properly, and then we can even understand various different types of feelings. And then it further enhanced to understanding of different mind states, various thoughts, mental states. So this is a kind of a improvement that we are gaining. But interestingly, so more and more we understand, so we start to see the common characteristics. Rather than distinct characteristics, now we start to understand, okay, all these things are arising and passing away. They are completely inconstant. They are very transient. And they don't stay for a long time. They simply come and go. Now, as we going in this direction, understanding of these three universal characteristics, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and unself, now all these different phenomena start to fade away. They lose their sort of the color. They lose their distinct characteristics. And they very much become flux. So at that time, it's difficult to recognize whether it is lust or whether it is hatred or whether it is jealousy or whether it is avarice or whatever it is. So we don't even need to label them at that time. So if we are trying to label them, then it is very difficult, and at the same time, it is kind of a strenuous. And it is not necessary because they don't come closer to recognize. I mean, they simply everything very much like mixed. And they appear somewhat vague and somewhat in a distant, very much like a flux. Now you don't need to actually label them. You're simply observing them how they are, I mean, staying there without being able to penetrate to the mind, and they are now very much at the bay. They are at the outside. They are on far away. So ultimately, mind become fully let go of all this, whatever the phenomena arising and passing away, whatever the conditioned phenomena, and then the mind become free. So this is the direction that we have to understand and we need to promote. So when we know that we went through the proper path, and at the beginning I didn't have any mindfulness, any concentration, later I developed mindfulness and concentration, so I was able to recognize various phenomena very clearly. And as a result of that, I understood their behavior, their different characteristics, And as a result of that, now the mind is not interested about them. And the mind understood their impermanent nature. Mind understood their unsatisfactory nature and ungovernability nature. As a result of that, mind is letting it go. Mind is now relinquishing everything. So now you can't recognize distinctly whether it is this or that. And now it's a matter of promoting that letting go and to have freedom of mind as much as possible. So therefore, what you're experiencing is correct. It's a matter of clarify the instruction of meditation instruction, so you can properly maintain your attitude at that time.
Okay. Bhante, I thought different thing. I thought maybe I'm experiencing something called anusaya, or the deep ones. Maybe
they also can come. Yeah.
Because, you know, my father is having dementia,
mm-hmm.
and I can't help him because I'm not in Sri Lanka. So I have that in my deep in my mind. Even when it comes to the surface, then I recognize it. But right. Sometimes it's deep down there, and sometimes I think those comes out. Probably I can't really identify, but that is why I feel dissatisfied or sad or something like that.
Yeah, actually, as you said, I mean, when anusaya manifests to the surface of the mind, then actually, if they are coming so quickly and so as a group, because sometimes it is sometimes overwhelming type of situation also can happen. You maintain very calm, quiet mind, and all of a sudden they start to come like a group, like a procession. A flooding happens. So at that time we can't actually distinctly recognize what they are, and it is not necessary. It's like vomitish. I mean, you simply vomit what is available and what is coming to the surface, and you simply vomit it out. Simply throw it away, and then mind become more and more clear, and you feel light-hearted. You feel more lighter in your mind, and again the clarity of mind further improves. So therefore, these are different. We can say kind of purification going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Joseph to ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hello, Bhante.
Yes.
It is so interesting, this last sutta, learning about the gods and how much they appear so human. They call it their problems.
Yes.
Their loves, their politics, and everything about them. I mean, they just seem like regular people.
Exactly.
Yeah, and even, I mean, I guess I wonder, the question I have is, are we to take that sort of cosmology in a literal way? Or are we supposed to understand it like metaphorically? You know, I just wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah. I think we can have many similarities, as you mentioned. So we all are in the sensual realm. Gods are also in the sensual realm. We human beings are also in the sensual realms. And interestingly, you know, when they are passing away in the godly realms, heavenly realms, actually they wish to become a manusa. They wish to become a human. So actually one time Buddha preaching the Dhamma to bhikkhus, so they say, so whenever a god, a heavenly being, reaches its end of lifespan, then the other gods come closer to him and advise, because this person is now getting various signs that he has reached the end of his lifespan. Then the other gods approach him and advise him, son, you are now going to die from this heavenly realm. Try to reborn in a, you know, what you call as, that also kind of a heavenly realm. So we are using the term kind of heavenly realm, reborn in the heavenly realm and practice the Dhamma, have a very firm saddha, faith. And then the monks asking from the Buddha, for those heavenly beings, what is the heavenly realm that they are wishing, that they are talking there? And there Buddha mentioned that heavenly realm is nothing but the human realm. So they are asking that passing away God, now you better reborn in the human realm and practice Dhamma and have a kind of a firm saddha. In other terms, they are asking him to reborn in the human realm and attain Sotapanna. Streaming. So you never go back to the hell realm again. So that is the kind of advice they give to these godly beings, heavenly beings, when they are passing away. So this is a kind of a common thing that Buddha mentioned happens mostly in the heavenly realm. So you can see kind of a relationship is there. So when human beings do various good deeds, there is a higher possibility that probably they may reborn in the heavenly realm. And again, sometimes they reborn in the human realm. So this is a kind of a on and on going on thing happen. But on the other hand, is the negative side is, Buddha mentioned that even the human beings, even the heavenly beings, but majority of them, they forget to practice Dhamma. They have their own different priorities. They have their wrong understanding, wrong views. As a result of that, their next birth is most probably not in the human realm nor in the heavenly realm. Rather, the majority of them will be reborn in the hell realm. So that is something that we have to seriously think. Because, I mean, you can understand even today, if we consider the human realm, it is not the majority who are living according to the Dhamma. It is the very minority living according to the Dhamma. So you can understand how people are, say, jealous each other, arguing each other, hitting each other, quarreling each other, and they are stealing, using intoxicants, sexual misconduct, and all sorts of, say, unwholesome conducts they are involved with. So it's quite obvious that at the end of this life, most of them, they will be reborn in a hell realm. And on the other hand, for the heavenly realm, also Buddha mentioned, now they are infatuated with their pleasures. They are obsessed by these pleasures. Now they don't have time to practice Dhamma. As a result of that, at the end of their lives, they also, vast majority, will be reborn in the hell realm. That is something that we have to, in a way, reflect. So we can say, therefore, there are certain parts that we can generalize. And not simply metaphorically, but we can generalize that things are happening like this. What do you think?
Well, sometimes I get the feeling throughout even a day that, you know, say I have a really good sitting practice, mm-hmm. Sitting session.
Yeah.
I feel like that is the heavenly realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm in the heavenly realm, or in the pure abode, you know, in the sense that I feel completely free.
Yes.
I feel, I just feel complete freedom.
Got it. Exactly.
And then, you know, maybe later that same day, I might be in the hell realm, you know, dealing with someone at work. You know, and so I feel that, throughout the day, there's these lives coming and going.
Yes.
And then, you know, I kind of feel like that the heaven and the hell is just like within.
Yeah. So actually, that is why, that is the beauty or the benefit of this human life. There you have both opportunities. Either you can live a heavenly type of life here, or you can have a hell type of life here. So as you mentioned, sometimes it is switching between these two. We are going through various suffering, and at that time it appears like a hell. But at the same time, we may be going through a lot of pleasurable things and appear like a heavenly realm. So, but on the other hand, as you mentioned, so while being in the human realm, one can enjoy the heavenly bliss. Especially, say for example, in complete freedom, as you mentioned. It is not the complete in the sense that ultimate enlightenment, arahantship. Rather, before that, you may have temporary liberation. Temporarily, your mind is fully free. So at that time, as you correctly mentioned, it is very much like a free from desires, free from any hatred. Very close to the pure abodes, maybe. I haven't been there. But anyway, so I mean, even in the samatha practice, now it is very much clear. In the samatha practice, the jhana, it is called rupavachara jhana. Now, rupavachara jhana, I mean, there are corresponding Brahma realms. Say, if you are in the first jhana, and there are three Brahma realms corresponding to that first jhana. Similarly to the second jhana, there are three more corresponding Brahma realms. Third jhana, another three Brahma realms. Fourth jhana, I think, four Brahma realms. So you can see, I mean, according to those jhanic attainments, there are corresponding Brahma realms. So temporarily you are experiencing it while being in the jhana in the human realm. But if you are able to maintain it and accomplish it, fully train the mind in that level, you will be reborn in that corresponding Brahma realm. So what you are telling is very correct, because you are temporarily experiencing that realm while being in the human realm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And maybe we'll have to, I can just ask you another quick question.
Yeah.
I was noticing the Papanya Chasanya Sankha, the proliferation, the word. I noticed the Sanya and the Sankha. Are we supposed to understand that, or the way I was kind of seeing it, it's as if like the recognition. We have a mental formation, we recognize it, and then we form it some more, and then we recognize it, and then we form it some more, recognize it, on, and on, and that's the proliferation, is this kind of ping-pong going on between the sanya and the sankara. Would that be an accurate interpretation of the word?
No. Actually, this is more into kind of a literary term, kind of a linguistic term here, a sankha. Is kind of a term talking about differences, or talking about, say, different forms. And sanya, on the other hand, perceptions. And Buddha mentioned in another sutta, what you call Kalaha Vivada Sutta, sanya nidanahi papancha sankha. That perceptions, signs, are another root of mental proliferation. So mental proliferation, now we understood, okay, when we consider the genesis of mental proliferation according to the Madhupindika Sutta, so there's a very subtle starting point, very subtle genesis. But on the other hand, in the Kalahavivada Sutta, Buddha mentioned these little signs appear in the mind. So once they appear in the mind, we actually start to recognize them, and we start to give value to them, and we personify them, and as a result of that, we make it something. It is a very minor type of a mental image, but we actually give unnecessary value to it. We actually personify that, telling, okay, this is my mother, this is my father, this is my, say, daughter, this is my son, this is my husband, this is my wife. So likewise, we give a name to it, we attribute a person to it, we give life to it, and we ultimately start thinking and ultimately go into mental proliferation. So therefore, Buddha mentioned this sanya is another root cause of mental proliferation. So in the papancha sanya sankha, so therefore I feel like the mental proliferation, which may have some attribute of perceptions, are of different forms. So therefore, I mean, these different connotations are combined together and given the term papancha sanya sankha. So when we generally say about papancha, it is simply say the mental proliferation, we simply use as mental proliferation. But when we call papancha sanya sankha, it has some more wider explanation, like mental proliferation, which may be caused due to say various perceptions, various signs, and they are all in different forms. Yeah, actually Venerable Katukurunde Jnanananda Mahathero actually very carefully analyzed these terms in his Nibbana, the Mind Stilled series, and again in the his one of his books, Concept and Reality in Early Buddhist Thought. So there also he carefully analyzed these terms.
That's great. I will definitely have a closer look at that.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Pante.
Yeah.
Tarvan Sarnai.
Yeah, Tarvan Sarnai.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Sharika to please ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Pante, I have a question regarding today's the talk. So when Sakka actually, you know, when he attained, he became a three mentor. So once he became a Sri mentor, like how he could decide what are the what are his going, you know, next life's going to be until he's attained Arahant, because you know that's my understanding, and how I have not heard before, like a Sotapanna Sri mentor can basically decide what the next life is going to be. It's because of his other attainment or...
Yeah, that is very true. Because as you mentioned, I mean, if assume that there's a human being attained Sotapanna. Now, I don't know whether he may have the capacity to decide like this. And it is not generalized as such, telling that, okay... he is going to, I mean, I can determine I'm next life will be this, next life will be this. I'm very mindful at my death. So likewise, I mean, the kind of deciding your future births, I don't know such is, apart from this sutta, I didn't come across such a sort of explanation. But on the other hand, there are differences in the Sotapanna state. One is called Kolankola, another one is Ekabiji, Dittipatta. So likewise, there are differences in the Sotapanna state. So, I mean, at maximum, it is seven births. But there are others who, I mean, not need to go to the level of seven births even before they attain full arhantship. So likewise, when we are calling a Sotapanna, it is not a kind of everybody will be reborn seven lifespans in maybe in the human realm or any other realm. There is no such kind of a definite answer given. Instead, in the Sotapanna states also, there are differences, and maybe according to their understanding, or maybe the faculty of wisdom or the faculty of faith, and accordingly, how many births they are going to have. The maximum births that they can have is the seven births. But on the other hand, so that is why it is called Sattakattu Parama. In the maximum, they may reborn in seven births. But before that, if they get proper conducive conditions, they can achieve the fully enlightenment. So it seems like God Sakka, kind of an exceptional case that he understood. As Buddha mentioned in this sutta, he's a very capable and very intelligent person. And you can understand, assume that, say in today, now if you think any of the president who are extremely busy will go to meet a spiritual leader and ask questions like this, I don't think, never. Because they are extremely busy and their minds are not oriented towards some spiritual achievement. But on the other hand, the god Sakka, he being the lord, he being the leader to this Tavatinsa realm, he still have his spiritual aspects. He still is in search of the Dhamma. That is why even before he reached Buddha, he visited several other teachers and he asked various questions. But he didn't get a satisfactory answer. So that indicates, so he is a very virtuous, very noble person. Now, having that kind of an intelligence, that had that kind of a virtuous behavior, he is arriving the Buddha and he is asked various philosophical questions, very practical questions. And Buddha is giving the beautiful answers, and after listening to those questions, he once he getting the answers, he become a Sotapanna. Now these exceptional qualities probably has given him the benefit or the capacity to see what's going to happen in the future. So I see like that. So it may not be a kind of a generalized kind of a situation, but it's a kind of an exceptional situation that God Sakka is having.
Yeah, that is why I understood, because I have never heard something like that. Then I thought, you know, it's you know, what I learned.
Yes.
So because I have, most of the time I've seen, like, you know, Buddha can say, like,
yes,
someone's next birth.
Yes.
But, you know, someone can attain like a certain wisdom, and, you know, through meditation, and then they can see like past life,
yes,
but I have not heard they can see like a future life. So that
actually certain others, I mean, even certain humans, so if they develop some abhinya, I think they have some capacity to see their future lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the past life. I mean, typically we call as pubbe nivasa anusati, that is thinking or knowing the past lives through abhinya, but future lives also, as you said, I mean, Buddha and all these very accomplished arahants, probably they definitely can see, but there may be certain others who might have these exceptional skills. I mean, even they not being arahants. Now, even during the Buddha's time, there was one Brahmin, by touching the skull, so he is telling where he has reborn. You can see, I mean, these are not the real facts that we have to keep our faith on. So that is where Buddha mentioned different types of strategies or bases that we can keep our faith. One strategy is this type of kind of miracles. So there is one Brahmin during the Buddha's time. So when one person die, and he approach him and he touched the skull, and then he mentioned that he is reborn at this particular place. And ultimately he arrived the Buddha, and Buddha actually gave a different exercise. So he gave skulls of different people, and he correctly mentioned. And one person reborn in something, then he correctly mentioned. And Buddha says, yes, you are correct. And another skull he is touching, and he mentioned, he is reborn in this place. And Buddha approves, yes, he mentioned that. And interestingly, Buddha gave a skull of an arahant. Then this person touched it, and he is now puzzled. Why is that?
Because there is no another birth.
Yeah. So now he is in a problem, because so far this is the only situation that he couldn't predict, or who couldn't properly say where his rebirth is. Then he asks, Bhante, I can't understand, I can't determine where his rebirth has happened. Then Buddha mentioned, so if you practice Dhamma, then I will teach you. Kind of a challenge given. Then he become a monk or something, and it's kind of an interesting situation happened. So therefore, these are different kind of techniques that even, I don't know, scientist or whoever going to have these skills. So still like that, there are different techniques, strategies are available to do such things.
Okay. Okay, Pante, yeah, it's very fascinating how he is like, you know, Sakya is very confident to say,
exactly,
I will be, you know, be like this and that, you know, especially in front of the Buddha.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's very fascinating. Thank
yes,
you so
yes.
much, Pante.
Yeah, yeah, welcome.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Kumudini to please ask the next question. Kumudini, you should be able to unmute your mic now.
Yeah, I think I just, okay. All right, now I did unmute. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, yes.
Mine is a simple question. You were saying that there are devas in certain realms who are so occupied enjoying their pleasures that they even forget to eat.
Yes, yes.
So isn't eating also a sense-based thing? Would they not remember to do eat because it is also satisfying the senses?
Yeah, that's the point. So you can refer suttas available in the Samyutta Nikaya, Sagataka Vagga.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a Sagat in the Sagataka Vagga where the verses are available, and there it is mentioned, Buddha mentioned, Kidda Padusika Deva. So Kidda is a Pali term for various different types of playful activities. So because of these different type of playful, pleasurable activities, their mind is fully obsessed with those activities. I mean, they even forget to have their meal.
Oh, so they don't, that is also a filter, so they don't regard eating as pleasurable as the other pleasures that they enjoy.
Maybe. So actually they, I mean, you need to understand their form is a very subtle form. I mean, it is a karma made body they have. So, and it is also depending on nutriments. So that is also kind of a very subtle nutriment, very delicate type of nutriment. So if they are not getting that nutriment properly, then it seems that their body cannot sustain and they will die. Now,
oh,
so for these gods, so that is what they are, what is happening, and they were indulging with these various different types of pleasures, and they missed the time. So lunch hour is missed.
Thank you, Bante.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask that.
Okay.
Peruan Saranai.
Okay, Bante, I believe this will be the last question that we have received. So, Chita Devi, please may I unmute your mic now.
Thank you, Lenka. Bante, now people who become sotapanas, can be reborn in the heavenly realms, is that right?
Yeah, can.
So then when they are indulging in all the pleasures, then they can't go back to hell realms, can they?
No, I mean, hell realm is impossible. I mean, assume that he become a sotapanna in the human realm or either in the heavenly realm. So they are destined to become arahant in the future, fully enlightenment. And one important advantage that they have is that they will never reborn in the hell realm. So that is the assurance given. So that God Sakka also mentioned that I am now will never go to the hell realm.
But these people still haven't got rid of lust and evil, na? Kamaraga and Vyapada, they have that.
Yes. Yes.
So they can indulge in Kamaraga in these heavenly realms, but then they still won't. Can they come back to the human realm then to finish up their spiritual life?
Can, yes.
So really, from what I'm understanding, to become a sotapanna is it's difficult, but I mean, if you're still having kamaraga and vyapada, then still there's a lot of imperfections in these people.
Yes, Yes, why not? Yeah, that's why, I mean, even Visakha, she was crying.
Yes.
She was crying. I mean, so Buddha, I have told this story several times. So, I mean, one of her nephew passed away and she was crying and coming to the monastery at the wrong time. And Buddha asked, why are you coming at this time? Then she mentioned, Bhante, this nephew has passed away and so suffering. She actually was quite helpful to me and she was quite with me at different activities. So likewise, she was crying and weeping and telling the story to the Buddha. So therefore, I mean, we can't say, Sotapanna only removes very gross level of Kamaraga Patiga, which can lead to hell realm. On the other hand, so I mean, why we commit kind of a very heinous kind of an activity? Why we commit very gross, say, killing or stealing or sexual misconduct or lying or sort this kind of a very grave activity? Because we have very gross level of kamaraga and patika. But in the according to the Dhamma, it is mentioned, so even the Sotapanna, they don't have kamaraga and patika, which may lead them to a hell realm.
Right.
Yeah.
But they have lost. They have understood the idea of self-view. They have understood it. They haven't actually removed the entire myself, that kind of delusion. But
yes,
they have understood it clearly.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
And they have lost the doubt.
Yes.
Lost the doubt. And
yeah.
And this. This Sirapada
Paramasa. Yeah.
Now that is also just, can you just very quickly, because I know we are running out of time, just mention that exactly what that, I mean, I know rites and rituals and all that, but can you just give me a little, make it a bit clearer for me, please, Bhante, if you have time?
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll take some sutta which talks about these qualities. And
yes,
try to explain as much as possible we can. But in term, in shortly, I mean, it seems like, say, before one attains Sotapanna, so he doesn't have a definite idea what's going to, what is the proper path. So he may be trying different things, therefore. And Buddha mentioned that he is going to one teacher, he is going to another teacher, he is going to another teacher, he tried this method, he tried another method, because he haven't yet come to a conclusion, so this is the proper path, this is the correct path. Now, I mean, there may be various rituals, rites and rituals that he mistakenly taken as the path. So, I mean, they are not leading to the understanding, they are not leading to the liberation, but he has, since he is not properly understood the path, now he is ignorantly believing them. He is ignorantly practicing them. But ultimately they are useless. Yeah. Only when one becomes a Sotapanna, he is now definite, okay, this is the thing to do. I don't have to practice any of the other unnecessary rituals. Okay, this is the thing to do. So he is quite definite. Now, as God Sakka mentioned here, now he is quite definite. He give a very straightforward answer, a very direct answer. Okay, now Bhante, I am definite. I know what's going to happen. This is the path. This is the correct thing. I am so happy because you gave me the very interesting questions, very correct answers. So likewise, his words actually very strongly ascertain the path. Yeah.
And they are quite pure in their sila, isn't that right, Bhante?
Yes.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay. So I think we have come to the end of the session. So today we have spent some time in listening to Dhamma, preaching Dhamma, and again we had a very interesting discussion. With that, we were able to accumulate some merits. We'll share these merits with every beings, all the beings, by reciting the traditional verses. And and I have to make a small announcement also. And there is one monthly event on every last Saturday in Sri Lankan time, but in US and Canada time that is on Sunday, sorry, Friday night. And I have put the information in your chat. If you like, you can join with it. It is called Clarity of Mind Through Mindfulness, headed by Shalika. So I invite most of you, if possible, you can join. It is actually in Sri Lanka time. It will be on Saturday, last Saturday at 6:30 a.m. 6:30 in the morning. So if any of you are interested, you can join. Actually, it's a one-hour program. About 30 minutes we discuss Dhamma, and then about 15 minutes we practice, and then another 15 minutes we have a kind of a, what you call Q&A session. And I have put the message on chat. I probably will put it again. Someone is asking to put it again, so let me put it again. So this is the link, and information may be there. You can register that. Shalika is heading it, and we'll be joining on last Saturday in Sri Lanka time. So with that notice, we'll share our merits. Ettavata ca amhehi sambratam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambratam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambratam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. ఆకాశట్టాజ బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దిక పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్షంతు శాసనం. ఆకాశట్టాజ బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దిక పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్షంతు దేశనం. ఆకాశట్టాజ బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దిక పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్షంతు మం పరం. ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనం హోతు సుఖితా హంతు జ్ఞాతయో. ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనం హోతు సుఖితా హంతు జ్ఞాతయో. ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనం హోతు సుఖితా హంతు జ్ఞాతయో. ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా. ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా. ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా. సాధు సాధు సాధు.
థాంక్యూ బంతే.
తెరువన్ సన్నాయి.